Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, I'm live in West Branch at the McDonald's, and no Miracle Man. Where are you, Miracle Man? So I'll just get us started, and he'll join with us a little bit. As always is the case, he sits at his McDonald's in Midland, and I'm here or in a semi or somewhere where I'm at, and tonight I'm in the McDonald's in West Branch. Of course, now this is two in a row that Dr. Pepper was here before Coca-Cola. And so, Miracle Man, in all of your greatest attentions, Dr. Pepper was here first. And it's pretty cool that it happened that way. Now, our show, as is always the case, is based on the fact that we're believers in God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Now, hold on just a second. I got to send a text. Here's how this works. We're not Bible-thumping bullies, but we are great believers. We believe there is a God who has real answers for real people with real problems, and he really loves you. And Jesus said, blessed are those who, whether or not they have seen, believed. So we want you to be a believer. We want you to not be one of those people that say, don't be one of them people that say, well, I can't believe that. Well, no, you're a believer. So just start saying you believe, like the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus and all those stories. Now, you can call into this show, 215-383-3810, and the Miracle Man will pray for you. 215-383-3810. What's pretty cool about him praying for you is he's had 40 surgeries in his life. There's no reason he should be anything that he is today, but because he has a mother who believes in God Almighty, who has faith and has continually said, heal my son, this man is healed like he is. As you hear him say every time he gets on the show, I have 20/20 vision, and you watch it manifest in my life. Now, tonight, he's going to talk about the book of Hebrews. He's going to read the book of Hebrews. He's going to read from the book of Genesis, and then he's going to tell us about when he was, where he was at this weekend singing. He went to some church somewhere. Him and his mom told the story, and they're singing. He was singing, and maybe he'll even sing for you tonight. I don't know. And then, of course, all the football updates. You're going to get the update of the high school football. You're going to get the update of the NFL. You're going to get the update of the college. And then we'll talk about tonight's game, Monday Night Football, because that's what Rivers loves. That's what the Miracle Man loves, is football. And we are ready for some football. And so that is all. I'm not the Miracle Man. And, yep, we're going to start with prayer, because you always got to start with prayer on a show like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we surrender this time to you, so that anyone who comes and hears this, whether live or in the archive, they would have the ability to find you, Jesus, most of all. That they would be able to come to a saving knowledge of you, receive you as their Lord and Savior, just like John chapter 1 says, to as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. And so we ask for that. I ask, Lord, for miracles tonight. He's sitting right there in a hotbed of places that needs, many people need miracles in that place. May the healing power of God flow through him as he prays for people. Anyone that comes and listens tonight, may draw people here. May their lives be changed by the word of God and something that's said. And if there's just some old boys that come by because of football, may their life be changed by the testimony of your great love and your mercy and your grace that comes out of the Miracle Man. I pray this in your mighty name. Draw people to the show. Help the Miracle Man see what this program is supposed to be about, and then get into it and function in it every single day of his life. I thank you, Lord, for healing. All through the New Testament, you healed. And I thank you that you heal him completely in his eyes, in his heart, in his mind, in his body, and that he can run strong, preach the gospel around the world like you've shown him. We ask all this now, Lord, in your mighty name, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Miracle Man, where are you? Hold on. I got some great friends that stopped by and saw me here at McDonald's tonight. It's good to see you guys again. I'll see you down the road somewhere. Come by and see you at your house. Thank you for your prayers. I love you. I love you, man. Thank you. So, you know, here we are. And waiting for the Miracle Man to hook up. So, what do? On this show, we start with prayer, we lay out the plan, and then we kick things into gear. The Miracle Man has been reading the book of Hebrews. I guess I can go there and start reading that. He'll catch up with us when he gets on the show. So, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be the reader. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Looks like we got him with us.
Hello there, praise God, everybody.
Are you there, brother? Make sure you sit close to your microphone so you have good volume and you have it turned up.
Yes, sir. Preacher Man, do you hear me?
Now, I introduced everybody and told them that Dr. Pepper was here first, not Coca-Cola.
And
I gave him the number.
Coca-Cola just showed up and is now in the building.
And I gave him the number to dial in. I said a prayer, and we're ready for the book of Hebrews. So whenever you're ready to start reading, this thing's ready. While you start, I'm going to go get my hamburger and french fry.
Okay. So as Miracle Man had said, you know, you can call us at any time, and we'll be happy to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. And praise God, we are opening to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Praise God, Hebrews 11. We're going to read some more. We're going to keep our reading going on faith. Now, I hope we're going to continue our reading on faith. And I hope this doesn't bore you all. I have a good reason why I do this. Now, I'm just warming up here. Yesterday, I sang an amazing song at New Life Christian Church over there in Saginaw on Stone Street over in near downtown Saginaw. And it was called Miracles by Carrie Jobe. Beautiful. And then my mom taught a great word on miracles and great message. I'm going to see what I can do. We're going to see what we can do to work with that church to try to have that message posted to where you can all watch it, because it was really great. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1. We're going to get going here now. And if you got your Bible with you, please open it so we can get to reading. Amen? Because we want people to participate. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, evidence of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When Jesus spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. Hang on, folks. I was just turning the page. Now we are back in action. And as he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who asks him, who believes him, he must first believe that he exists. Anyone who comes to him, he has to first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he didn't see yet, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land as a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Joab and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he was as good as dead. And then descendants as numerous and the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They had not yet received the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abram reasoned with God that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Isn't that amazing? And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. You know that? Rahab, that prostitute, she wasn't killed because she actually let those spies come in. She actually let those spies come in who were looking, spying out the land, you know, coming in, scoping it out. You know, like how you would do if you want to go buy a house. If you're going to go buy and build a house, you buy the property and then you build a house on it. You'll go and then you'll go like explore it. Or they say in modern times, you'll go scope it out. You'll go look at it and see, okay, where's this at? Is it on a nice quiet street? What's around here? You know, is there enough land here so that I can easily build the size house I want? Is it in the way that I can have it be build the house above ground and then have the basement in the ground if that's what I want? You'll be scoping out that land. That's what those spies were doing. But Rahab was not killed because she actually let the spies in. And she was not killed along with those others who were disobedient. Back to the reading, though. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went out in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Yet, none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. And I'm going to read the next few verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily, it so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance in the race marked out for us. Let us, like that marathon. Let us fix our eyes on football. Okay. Let's fix our eyes on that Christmas list that we got to start making in the next few weeks. Oh, does it say that? Preacher Man, does it say that? Preacher Man. Hey, Preacher Man.
I'm on the back side of a password. Can't seem to get it right. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was reading out of everything that hinders the sin that is so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on, let us fix our eyes on the book that has all the Black Friday sales in it for Black Friday.
Well.
Okay, let us fix our eyes on, that Christmas list we got to write.
Well.
Well, the point is it doesn't say that. Instead, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or other versions say finisher, of our faith, who for the joy sent before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinful men, so that they will not grow weary and lose heart. That means, like, if you believe in for a prodigal to come home, if you believe in for healing in your body, if you believe in for to come out of poverty, he dealt with all those things, dealt with all that oppression right there on the cross. And it's such a cool thing that Jesus did that for us. He suffered so we didn't have to suffer. Is that mine? And, folks, we are going to turn to Genesis in a minute, but first, a word from our great sponsor, a drink from our great sponsor.
Dr.
There
Pepper.
You have it. That was actually me drinking a Coca-Cola, but I will say, yesterday, I'm in Popeyes after I sang that wonderful song and my mom preached that amazing sermon. After the service, we took a 10-minute ride down to Popeye's Chicken Biscuits over in Saginaw.
Hallelujah.
It's on Holland Road, M46, just west of I-75 at exit 149B. You're going south, you just get off. Is it right next to a McDonald's, Shelley, or what is it right by?
Yep, it's McDonald's.
It's basically directly across the road from a McDonald's at the corner of East Holland Road and Outer Drive. They have great chicken strips, good, chicken legs, wings. So they have the KFC type, like original type, and as well as the chicken tenders/fingers/strips. Type. They have that too. and they have, and they're, so you're thinking, oh, as one of the sides, they have these boring potato wedges. No, they got actually pretty good fries. And they do have Coca-Cola in their contract, so not that Pepsi, so you can actually give it the justice it deserves and get a Coke with it. And those biscuits are, by the way, better than KFC's. So if you're looking for some great chicken and you're en route, or even if you just want to take a little drive, you can give Popeyes a try. If you're not in the Saginaw area, there's other locations around the country. For example, there's one in Flint. There's several in the Detroit area. Generally, the rules are this. Rule, as far as where to find a Popeye's chicken, rule one. This rule one is there tends to be more in more southern-oriented cities. And then the other rule, which is similar, is they tend to be more in these metro areas, like Detroit, like Saginaw, Flint, predominantly more areas with higher African American populations. And why that is, I don't know. I just know from what I've seen, that's how it works. But you can, is it Popeyes.com, the website? We'll have to look.
Yeah, I have to look.
You have to look, but I'll let you guys know what it is. But anyhow, Popeyes, great option. Coke is available there. And by the way, while I'm on this, remember, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, any size, still a dollar. Limited time only, price and participation may vary. Now that I have done a little bit of that blabbering, now I shall actually get to the reopen my Bible and get back to the more substantive Word of God and to read. We talked about Joseph and those dreams he had and that all those things that happened with the coat of many colors being ripped and all that stuff. Let's see what happens now as we go to Genesis chapter 38. Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hera. There, Judah meant the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her, or as we would say, slept with her. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son who was named Er. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kezeb that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight. So the Lord put him to death. Judah said to Onan, "Leave with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that offspring would not be his. But, so whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground to keep producing offspring for his brother. What? Sorry, folks. This is a little gross, but it is the Bible. His brothers. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight. So he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, live as a widow in your father's house until my son Sheba grows up. For he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Jiddah, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep, he took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enium. This is on the road to Timnah. For she saw this, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered herself, her face, not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law. He sent over her from the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. And what will you give me to sleep for me to sleep with you? She asked. I'll send you a young goat from my flock, he said. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it? She asked. He said, what pledge should I give you? Your seal and its cord, and the staff was your hand, she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant to him. After she left, she took off her veil and put it on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat to his heir, the Adullamite, in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not mind her. I mean, he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, Where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Am? There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here, they said. So he sent back to Judah and said, I don't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here. Then Judah said, let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you did not find her. about 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law, Tamar, is greatly of, is guilty of prostitution. And as a result, she is now pregnant. Judah said, bring her out and have her buried to death. Have her burned to death. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law, I am pregnant, to the man who owns these, she said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I would not give her my son, Shelah. For she did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. The midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Perez, that means like the breakthrough. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his, came out, and he was given the name Zah. I am feeling led to read this next chapter on Joseph, so I shall do that.
All right.
Now, Joseph had been taken down. We're in chapter 39 of Genesis now, so folks, just keep along with us. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, was the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From that time, he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. So the blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With many with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left the cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servant. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sores of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us back to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden had no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So it's pretty cool, the favor that God kept giving Joseph. It's really cool. And
didn't matter what happened to him, God just put him back on top, didn't he?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes about favor. You see, this is a great thing that you can believe for God to give you favor. We're not just talking about this silly little favor of finding a front row parking spot at church, at the mall, or at work. Yes, that's great. But ultimately, what we're talking about is just having great favor with God and with man. You know, you can ask God for favor with the bill collectors, favor with your teachers, you know, whether you're in high school or elementary school or college, just God for favor. And to do what he says all the time, and that you can just, some people,
you know, some people are so blessed. They just have favor with God wherever they go. But in order to have that kind of favor, you got to live right. You got to do what he says. My parents, I mean, it's crazy. Some of these people, sometimes they'll get pulled over. Some of these people that have faith, these people who have this great favor, they'll get pulled over and they'll just get a warning. They won't get a ticket. Those people without favor, they'll get a ticket. That's just an example. I'm not going to go into any details about these pullovers, but yes, I've been in the car when my dad was driving, or my mom was driving, and we've been pulled over, no ticket. And all I can think of that had it was a factor was that favor with God. I've had favor all the time. Many cases. Sometimes it came in the form of free food. People who paid it forward for me. I can think of a couple different times down south that this happened to me. One time where I'm at a mall in Atlanta. We're at a mall, me and my family. This was like 3 years ago. I'm there doing their thing. They showed me the halls and that. They went with me through once, and then I went around myself. In the process, though, you know, I decided I want something to drink. So I go to the Checkers slash rally down there, Checkers. I go to get a pop. And I say, yeah, I'll have this Cherry Coke, no ice. And then they say, okay, that'll be this certain amount. And then I'm looking for my card, and I can't find it. And then just when I'm getting it out and find it, 15 seconds later, she said, you know what? It's on the house. I got this for you. I think that's the favor of God, and she just decided, yeah, I'm going to give you this one. And then similar thing happened to me at a Dairy Queen in another mall about a year and a half later. This was in Nashville. And couldn't find the gift card. And then I'm getting it out, and the worker says, you know what? It's on the house. And if that ain't favor, I don't know what is. Because that's favor of God. The reason I get favor with God like that is because I believe. I follow the word of God. I do what it says. That's why I'm able to have favor. No, this doesn't mean I control the certain things that Joseph does, but I do find favor, and I'm not just talking about anything special because I can't see yet. I'm talking about favor that only God's people can get, if you know what I mean, or they see you're struggling. It's incredible the favor that I've had. I mean, we found parking spots up close when the parking lots were full at certain places. I mean, it's just crazy the amount of favor. But in order to get this kind of favor, you can't always be asking God. Now, it's about, now the way I see it, you tell me if you agree with me. Like, if you're just always asking when you go up to that counter at the mall or here at McDonald's or anywhere else, God, in the name of Jesus, I have a free drink. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get a free drink. In the name of Jesus, that's not going to, I don't think that's always going to work that way. Because if you're always asking for it, you know. And in both of those cases I just gave, I just about had the card out to pay for it. And they're like, you know what? Phoebe. By Phoebe, I mean it's on the house, but you know what I mean. And then, yeah, it's like you can't always just be asking for it because then it won't work. If you're always asking for that empty parking spot, sometimes it might work. Other times you're going to find, nope, they're all full. You know? Sometimes, but you got to have that lifestyle that God rewards. You know, you got to be seeking Him. That's how you get great favor with God, when you're the kind of person who. Now, if you're asking Him for favor and not necessarily, if you're just asking Him for favor in general, that is the favor. That is where you start getting favor. You might not necessarily have to ask for certain types, but if you're going like, in the name of Jesus, I have favor with God and man. I claim that I have favor with God and man. Wherever I go, I claim that I'm successful. I claim that, you know, I say this all the time. And, you know, that's a great thing to be claiming in your life. I know it works for me too, is claiming that you have favor of God on you. Can serve as protection in a way too, because me and Shelly, we were heading out to Clare. I'm practicing from a miracle song. We were heading out to Clare to get me some goodies and my mom one of those Amish pies, and I'm practicing my song. We hit a deer on the highway. But luckily the deer didn't come through the windshield. Thank God. That's Psalms 91. But I also believe that it is the favor of God on us, you know, and it's part of that package, you know, because that deer could have came right through that windshield and totaled the car and possibly killed us both. Luckily, it didn't. Thank God it didn't. Because I might have not been here to tell the story had I not. I think the deer was that doll trying to get at me, was trying to get at us. Or, you know, but she did see it, but, you know. We already know that deal was not God. We can cancel that out right now, pretty sure. That deal was not God, you know. And because I'm in the middle of practicing my song, you know, and it's kind of funny how it happened, but still, you know, thank God it wasn't worse. Still thank God for it, because it could have been a harder hit. It could have been a bigger deer. It could have been worse. I remember one time I was like six. I was in a car. We hit a deer, and it seemed like it was a bit worse. That car, I believe, was totally totaled by that deer. It did not come through the windshield, but it was still pretty bad. And got to pay attention when you're driving this time of the year, folks, in Michigan. It's hunting season starts Wednesday. And to all those hunters, I say, shoot them all, will you? Shoot all those deer you want, will you? Because I don't want to be messing around with those deer, you know, like when I'm in the car. You know, sometimes they'll be running about, and sometimes they look so cute, but other times they're just running out in the road, and then you like got to swerve to avoid hitting them.
Can we try and refresh this page? Picture man says he can't hear us.
You might have to refresh the page.
Mm-hmm.
Picture man. Hey, Preacher Man.
We have to shut it down or refresh it?
I don't think we have to shut it down, but what's it doing?
It's still saying that we're going.
Preacher Man. Preacher Man.
Hi. Yeah, well, he were talking away, but he's refreshing it right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Alrighty. Thanks.
Come on, Internet. What are you doing now?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whoa.
What in the... What? What's going on?
You got too many things open. I'm going to shut the Blog Talk Radio show.
What all do I have open?
What's it saying?
I don't know why it's saying that. Preacher Man. Preacher Man.
Oh, we're not. We gotta go back to the email. I just went right to this.
Yeah.
Connecting again.
Preacher Man.
A minute. Do you hear dialing? Not yet.
No.
Wait a minute. Wait. Gotta say yes for the microphone.
Preacher Man. Hey, Preacher Man.
You can hear us. And the call room.
Preacher?
Oh, come on. You need a new computer.
Why? What's it doing?
I don't know, it's not staying connected, really.
Preacher Man. Hey, Preacher Man. Preacher Man? Hey, Preacher Man? Preacher Man? Now, folks, can you hear us? Because I was totally on a roll. which I'm getting back to. Now, I was saying, you know, I was kind of saying about that whole deer thing, and I was saying, kind of teasing with all these hunters and saying, to all you hunters out there, if you're going to go shoot at deer, I mean, if you're going to go hunting, you know, on the 15th, between the November 15th and the 30th, and you're going to go doing the firearm hunting season, shoot all the deer you can, because it's really not fun trying to avoid all the deer that are all over the road. So please shoot as many deer as you can possibly shoot. As many deer as the DNR will allow you to shoot, take them. Because I know some drivers that are tired of having to swerve all the time to try to avoid them. So if you could just take them all, that would be a good help. Wouldn't getting some snow help too, or no? Wouldn't getting some snow get them off the roads?
No, they're easier to track.
Then what's going to keep them off the roads?
The deer?
Yeah.
All right, you're on. Broadcast, brother.
But, sir,
we can hear you.
Preacher man, now I was saying a minute ago, I was saying, you know, to all these people about all this deer stuff, I was saying a minute ago, for those of you who... By the way, folks, sorry about these technical difficulties. We got some things we're working out. But, anyhow, like I was saying, all these people who are going to go hunting between Wednesday and the end of this month, all these people who are going to go hunting with their firearms, take all the deer that the DNR will let you take. Because Some of these drivers are tired of always swerving around deer every 5 minutes. Like having to be on deer lookout. So, all you hunters, you just start hoarding the deer. You really can find them. You see those deer? Just start hoarding them. Because, you know, we got to get them off the road. To a degree, at least. Because it really is rough. And I'm sorry I got on this little rant, because what I'm really doing is talking about this favor of God, which I'm going back to. By the way, though, it's by the grace of God, by the favor of God, that we did not get hurt by that accident. Because the policeman comes about 30 minutes later, and he says, you guys okay? And then Shelly and me are both like, yeah, we're fine. And he's like, and there was some damage to the car.
But lights still work.
The lights still work. It doesn't make me feel nervous or nothing, but, you know, people just got to be watching out for them deer, because they're out there. And I'm still believing to see them, and I already know they're out there, and that we got to pay attention, because especially with it getting dark a lot earlier now, thanks to daylight savings. By the way, Mark Buckley hates that daylight saving thing because of how early it's getting dark now. And I don't like it either, honestly, because of the early darkness, with one exception. And that one exception is this, on the night of, because on the night of, you gain an hour of sleep. And that's nice. Now, we have that thing in March. I like they go forward in March, because then you get an extra hour later of light in the evening. The dislike of that one, though, is the losing an hour of sleep. I'm kind of the school that we should stay on daylight saving year-round. Are you thinking the same thing, Preacher Man? Or do you think we should go off daylight savings forever?
Well, bottom line is there's still only 24 hours in the day. So.
But it's
nicer to have a couple hours, another hour of daylight and all that stuff. I guess it's just bottom line is we still got 24 hours.
True. You know?
I have a lot of friends that don't ever switch their clock, and they live right here in Michigan, and they think we're all weird.
Well, you want to be late to your next doctor's appointment? See how he appreciates that?
They just adjust their thought process an hour ahead to keep up with the rest of us. But
the one farmer told me,
he said, my clock works the same no matter what. I'm going to get up whether it's 6 or 5, so I'm going to get up at the same time every day no matter what. Interesting, isn't it?
I think we should stick with one for the whole year. I would stick it with daylight saving on, because then you'll still have that extra hour of daylight when you get out of work, as opposed to getting out of work to hear pitch black in the winter. And if you left daylight savings off permanently, then the latest it could get dark would be 9 o'clock here, 8 o'clock and 8 something in a place like Nashville, which means you wouldn't have that much time for, stuff at night.
Yep.
So it's better to leave the daylight saving on.
Probably so.
But we look at this faith with God thing, and it's so great, like, what it'll do for us, but you got to be living the right lifestyle. You got to be living the way God would want you to live. You got to be asking him for help, favor. Like, you're going through stuff, and you'll be like, God, I claim that in the name of Jesus, I have favor with the doctors. I have favor with, if it's some court stuff, you're claiming, well, God, I thank you that I have favor with that judge. And you can always ask God for favor, whatever you're going through with your life. And that favor can be what leads to a miracle. For example, the miracle could be maybe you were convicted of something. They find the proof you didn't do it. And miraculously, they dismiss the charges. That could be a miracle, thanks to the favor of God. But I say this at the end of all of my exhortations that I do, and that is this. This favor of God stuff isn't going to work for you unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can add Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior where you are right now. If you need help, you can call into this show at the number we have for you. That number is 215-383-3810. You press 1, you go through that screener, and you'll be right there to talk to us. And we'll show you how you can give your life to Christ. So you can, and then you can learn how to pray, and then we can get this great, you can get this great favor stuff activated in your life, because favor is amazing. And as I told you, as stuff happens and I get miracles, I tell you guys about them, because great stuff. It's a testimony of God. Every miracle you have is another testimony. Powerful, but you got to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before we do that. Now, before we get into sports, I'm going to pray briefly. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the word we read tonight on faith and then on the favor with God and how Joseph had that favor wherever he got. And he had control over everything and all that favor that Joseph had. I thank you, Lord God, for the great word on that. Thank you, Lord God, that the listeners will take this message to heart about what they have to do to get the favor of God activated in their lives. I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. Thank you, God, that you do what you said you would do in your word. And give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we go on to sports. And we start with... Da-da-da-dum! Da-dum! Da-dum! Da-da-da-da-da-da-dum! We begin with... Let's go to college football. We begin first with Michigan. Michigan on the road to take on Maryland. Maryland. In Maryland. And Michigan does a nice job. They get up 28-0 at one point. Maryland comes, makes it interesting, 28-7. Makes it a little interesting. Michigan comes back, scores again, 35-7. Then Maryland gets a field goal, 35-10. Pretty good night for Michigan Saturday. They did have to deal with a few penalties. Not many. They did a pretty good job, but still had a couple penalties to worry about. And Peters, good job on quarterback. The running game was there. They did a good job on defense. Now Michigan's finally trying to get in the click, which is good because now on Saturday they have to face Wisconsin in Madison. How can Michigan upset Wisconsin? If they do what they can do, what they were able to do at times on Saturday, I think it's possible. Do I think it's likely? I don't necessarily know yet. I have to think about that between now and when I do my football picks, my football predictions for the weekend. And then we'll figure that out. And then I can give you a more accurate idea of what I see happening and what I think Michigan has to do in order to win. Now, Wisconsin is undefeated. Wisconsin is undefeated. So we absolutely have our work cut out for us. 100%. Now, MSU, on the other hand, had to go to Columbus. They got beaten, man. They got their behind slapped like nobody's business, 48-3. The Ohio State lost 48-18 last week. This week, Ohio State's like, oh, don't worry, we're getting them. 48-3, Ohio State over Michigan, trying to get themselves back in at least to the Big Ten championship game. I don't know about them making that playoff. Michigan State sure won't be in it because they lost again. Now, you also have Penn State that won't be in it because they had a couple losses. So what's going to happen finally with that Big Ten? I don't know. I really don't. I would not be surprised if Wisconsin was that number one team in, overall in the Big Ten at the end of the day. We'll have to wait and see, though. And then the Ohio State, like I said, beat Michigan State 48-3. Now, we had a big upset. Georgia lost pretty good. They had a pretty tough loss to number 10 ranked Auburn, 42-21. Pretty tough game for the Bulldogs. I think Auburn's really trying to make a run at it so they can possibly make the national championship game. So that they can make the playoffs. They'll have to get through Alabama first, though, and Alabama at point, so it's looking kind of scary. They were down by a little bit to Mississippi State. Southern Miss, in Southern Miss, and for a few minutes, it was not looking great for the Tide, but the Tide were able to finish it out, 31-24. Roll, Tide, roll, as they say. I'm a big Tide guy as far as when it comes to the SEC. Other college football news, you had Notre Dame losing to Florida-Miami. Miami, Florida, in Miami. Notre Dame, who was ranked very highly, that's their first loss. You have Tennessee firing Butch Jones. Butch Jones, who had been a coach for a couple of years at Central Michigan and had compiled and had a nice season there back in 2009. And that was at one of those games back then, and he did a nice job. CMU was doing great. This year, though, Tennessee 0-6 in the SEC. 0-6. Totally pitiful. That's not, in my mind, that is not Tennessee football. That's not what you want to see in Neyland Stadium down in Knoxville. It's not what you look for if you're a Vol fan. But some of you who are Chip fans, I thought maybe you should know that. Now we go to the NFL. And here we begin with, well, you think I'm going to start with the Detroit Lions. No. I'm going to get to that very soon. First, I'm going to give an update on what happened on Thursday Night Football. Thursday night, you had Seahawks and Cardinals. Seahawks take this installment of that NFC West rivalry, 22-16. I figured it would be kind of close just like that, and I got it right. Seahawks, pretty good, even though they've lost one of their stars for the rest of the season. Still doing pretty good. Now, we go to the Lions at Ford Field on Sunday. Record crowd for a 1 o'clock game. Over 66,000 at first for like the first 2.5 quarters or so. It was looking like the Lions were going to be upset by Cleveland Browns, the lowly Browns, the 0-10 Browns. And, well, for a while it looked like that's what was going to happen. But the Lions came back between that third and fourth quarter, and they scored 21 unanswered points to win by the score of 38-24. So at times it was ugly, but hey, they got the win, even though it wasn't as easy as they thought it was going to be. I said it was going to be 38-10. What? Hold on, what?
I said go Lions.
Go Lions, yep. Yep, I thought it was going to be 38-10, but a bit more of a manhandling. It turns out I got the 38 part right, but not the 10. The defense allowed some more points than what I wish they would have. And keep in mind, Stafford did throw an interception, which if he didn't throw it, it's possible that it could have been 38-17, which would have been a little closer to what I was expecting. But nonetheless, Lions are still going strong. That's their second win in a row. On Sunday, they go to Chicago to play the Bears at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Now, last night, we're going to stick with a couple of the day games because you had some super close finishes. In Nashville, another Music City Miracle. You could say this is Music City Miracle Part 3, as the Titans, their kicker, is able to get a field goal through at the last second as time expires to get the win over the Cincinnati Bungles. Bengals, that is, but some people like calling them the Bungles. And they were able to get the win there. Music City Miracle Part 1, you know, was in like 99. And that's when they were able to get a win in playoffs after being behind for a bit. Then you had another one in 09 regular season in which they were able to win, get a touchdown with no time on the clock. And then you have this. That's why I entitled this Music City Miracle Part 3. You know, because they were down to the Bengals for a while. And the Titans are the best team in the AFC South, by the way. Now, Pittsburgh was able to do a similar thing, a walk-off touchdown in their win. And then yesterday you had the big time, you had the Patriots whipping Denver 41-17. And wasn't it really a game? Denver is okay, but they're not really doing what they had been doing in previous years. Brady, still good as ever. Gotta wonder, how is he able to keep going like this when he's over 40? I don't know. The diet's got to be working for him somewhat, and he really keeps himself in great shape. The diet's only a part of it, but there's other great things he does too, you know, so that he can keep it going like that. And great job. Niners, they get their first win of the year to improve to 1-9. Giants, though, they lose again. They only have one win. Falcons over the Cowboys 28-7 in the first game of Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension. Ezekiel Elliott is sitting out for Dallas, so it's 28-7 Falcons over the Cowboys. Now, Monday Night Football. Hang on a second. Let me ask Siri.
Monday Night Football is the Panthers and who is it? Dolphins at the Panthers.
You have, for tonight's game, Monday night edition, you have the Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers. Folks, I'm going to give this one to the Panthers, even though the Dolphins have had some decent games. And yes, they were able to, in fact, beat Atlanta at the last minute. But this is in Carolina. Carolina is a tough place to play. I think it's going to be Miami over Carolina 27-21. So it's going to be a one-score game. So it could be an idea of give or take, but I see 27-21 Panthers. Panthers are one of the teams that beat the Lions along with the Falcons, the Steelers, and the Steelers, and the, no, not Texans, oh, the Saints. So they lost three times to NFC South opponents, the Lions did, and the Panthers are one of those teams that they lost to. When playing in division, the Lions are undefeated, which is good, great. But they're going to have to keep winning, and if they want to win that division. Minnesota is starting to click a bit more than I would like them to win. We do get them on Thanksgiving, so that could be our chance. The Lions have been doing pretty well on Thanksgiving the last few years. So tough to, no wonder I feel like our Thanksgivings have been a little better lately, because we haven't had to get sick on our turkey after the Lions have been getting blown out on Thanksgiving, as what seemed to happen for a while. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay, I never really got sick on it, but it's just a figure of speech, you know, kind of, you know. Nonetheless, you know, they did, you know, they're pretty good. They're starting to click a bit better now as a team, and you had a couple losses in a row. The last game, which was pretty disappointing because you won in all the other categories except for points scored on the board. Now, for NFL, that is a wrap. Now we will go to high school football. We begin and we take you to Division One, folks. The Clarkston Wolves are going to the state semifinals. That is because the Clarkston Wolves went to Holland, West Ottawa. They made it to their first ever regional title game. Again, this was in Holland. They're at 22-6 at the start of the fourth quarter. But after that, the Wolves come out, score 23 unanswered points. 18 of those came from Josh Cantu. All four home teams, all lost on their home fields in Division I. Hey, which one?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You're getting a really, really bad broke up sound here. Refresh your page real quick. See if that makes a difference. Just hit the refresh button on your browser there. It's been a good show. We're doing good. But we got to get high school football updates. It's breaking up.
Make it back to the bus.
Well, you're still breaking up. Am I coming through clear? Well, you have to. That's where that whole thing is. You have to sign out and then sign back in, and we're pretty close to done for tonight, aren't we?
Okay. So, folks, until next time, God first, God always. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you next time.
All right, so just hang tight. He hung up. He didn't hang tight. All right, well, as I said earlier in the show, we got my internet here, his internet there, my computer here, his computer there.
And there's no way around that.
All of that. Sometimes we might go many times in a row. We might go a month in a row and that not be a problem. But that's not the case tonight. So it'll be all right. And as he just said, remember, God first and God always. Right? It's what our pastor says. I wrestled with this my whole life. I'm probably still wrestling with it. But as our pastor says so very, very effectively, people try to put, well, let's have God first and your marriage second and your kids third and your job first. No, let's see. Maybe we got to have. No, our marriage has to be first and our children next. And then we put, well, wait, you got to have God. Hold on. And so, you know, in all that mess, how about we just say you got to have God in your personal life. Got to have God in your married life. You got to have God raising your kids. You better have God in your job. You better have God first in all you do. In all you do. And then when you do, it happens. So as, you know, life comes together. So as the Miracle Man always says, see you again tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, same time, same station, God first, God always.